Crime and Crime Again discusses true crime content that may be graphic or disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. This episode discusses topics that may be triggering to listen to, such as domestic violence, substance abuse, and the disappearance of a child. Tamra Jewel Keepness and her fraternal twin sister, Tanis, were born on September 1st, 1998, to parents Lorena and Troy Keepness. The family was of the White Bear First Nation, and they lived in Regina, Saskatchewan, in Canada, the second largest city in the province that sits less than 300 kilometers away from the United States. Including the twin girls, Lorena and Troy had four children together, but their relationship was never truly stable or healthy. They split up when Tamra and Tanis were very little, and by that time, Troy had been convicted of assaulting Lorena on three separate occasions. By 2004, Lorena had begun a new relationship with Dean MacArthur, and the two had moved in together. Their relationship, however, was not any healthier than her previous relationship. By July of 2004, Dean had recently served 2 months of a 3-month sentence for physically assaulting Lorena while heavily intoxicated. They both struggled with substance abuse and addiction, primarily alcohol, and there was a lot of drug-related activity happening in the home, even with the children there. As a result of frequent arguments and suspicion of child neglect, there had been over 50 calls made to social services to investigate the Keepness home by the summer of 2004. Up to that point, however, the children had never been removed from the home. The most recent addition to the family was Lorena and Dean's 9-month-old baby. All of the children lived with Lorena, but her children with Troy were able to see their father often, as he lived close by. Little Tamra was possibly the brightest and the boldest of the bunch. Based on all of her family's descriptions of her, she was an absolute spitfire, even at just 5 years old. Always with a smile on her face, the little girl was independent and confident, maybe even a bit mischievous at times. In an interview, her mother recalls a time when Tamra and Tanis were visiting with their father, and Lorena heard a knock on the door in the middle of the night. When she opened the door, there was Tamra, clutching her twin sister's hand, having decided to leave her father's house a few blocks away and come home on her own, guiding her sister through the dark. Tamra loved all of her siblings fiercely, and she'd been so excited about the new baby, born just a few months earlier. Tamra was courageous and playful, and she loved to play outdoors and climb trees. And again, she was a bit mischievous, as her mother recalls that there were times where Tamra did leave the house on her own, but she never stayed away for long and she always came right back. On July 5th, 2004, Lorena, Dean, and all six children were in the living room watching a movie. Lorena and Dean had each had a couple of drinks, and an argument broke out between the two. According to them, it was a minor argument about wanting to change the channel and watch something else. The argument was at least heated enough that Dean decided to leave the house around 8:30 p.m. While he was out, he ran into his friend, Russell Sheepskin, who sometimes stayed with the family. There is a bit of discrepancy in this, as I have also seen it reported that Russell was already at the house and he left with Dean, while most sources state that while Dean was out after he had already left, he somewhere ran into Russell. According to Russell himself, he wasn't just an occasional house guest. He was apparently the family's live-in babysitter. Russell said in interviews that he was close with the family and had spent a lot of time with all of the children. He even said that he was often the one who helped the kids get ready for school in the mornings. Dean and Russell went out for drinks together, and at some point while they were out, Dean stopped to buy formula for his and Lorena's baby, which he dropped off at the house before heading out again. Sometime between 10:30 and 11 p.m. on the night of July 5th, Lorena was still home and she put the children to bed. She says that she tucked them all in and kissed them all goodnight, as she always did. After the kids were in bed, Lorena left her oldest child, 11-year-old Summer, in charge, and she headed out to go to a friend's house just one block away. She did go to this friend's house with the intention of drinking, and at some point in the night, she and the friend went out to buy more alcohol. They claimed to have stopped back by the Keepness home to check on the kids before returning to the friend's house. When they returned to the friend's house, Lorena called Summer and told her that if she needed anything, she could call. Meanwhile, sometime during the night, Dean and Russell apparently parted ways because Russell returned to the Keepness home around 12 a.m., heavily intoxicated. He claimed that he made himself some food, specifically spaghetti, and he also notes that he did see some of the kids, including Tamara, asleep in the living room. Which would mean that at some point in the night, Tamara had left her bedroom upstairs and come down to the living room to sleep, probably on the couch. Russell said that he then went out to the front porch to smoke a cigarette. Between 2 and 3 a.m., Dean returned to the home while Russell was outside smoking. And as a note here, all of the adults involved in this were very intoxicated on the night that all of this happened. So their timeline is mostly approximations. There isn't really anything that's super precise about anything that happened during the night. According to Russell, Dean became irate with him and started a serious physical fight. The front porch of the house was enclosed by windows, and Dean actually swung at Russell through the window, breaking it, and that's how the fight got started. In an interview a few years later, Russell explained that Dean was angry with him because he had assumed that Lorena was out not just to drink with a friend, but as a sex worker. Russell said that Dean punched him for, quote, letting her do that, end quote. Now, this has not been confirmed. As far as I could tell in all of my research, it is only alleged that Lorena ever worked as a sex worker. While it is possible, I don't want to present it as cold hard fact. Now, bear in mind that both of these men were heavily intoxicated during this fight. Russell ended up having to walk himself to the hospital to get stitches after this brawl. Dean claimed that after the fight, he walked to his aunt's house where he stayed overnight. He goes on to say that he didn't arrive at his aunt's house until between 5 and 5:30 a.m. because he'd gotten lost. Again, he was still quite drunk at this point. There are, however, no confirmed witnesses that saw Dean walking to his aunt's house that night. As for Lorena, she returned home between 3:15 and 3:30 a.m. on July 6th. She recalled that all of the doors were locked, and she had to enter the home through a window. It is of note that Lorena was also very drunk upon coming home, and this is why, again, the timeline is mostly based on approximations. Lorena didn't recall exactly which area of the house she saw any of her kids in, but she does say that she remembers seeing Summer and Tanis at some point after coming home. Around 9 a.m. on July 6th, Lorena's mother knocked on the door and Lorena woke up to let her inside. Soon after that, Summer and Rain left for a summer day camp. Around 12 p.m., Lorena asked one of the kids to go upstairs and get Tamara so that they could all go on a walk together. When they went upstairs, they discovered that Tamara wasn't in her bed. She wasn't anywhere in the house at all. After contacting nearby family members, such as Tamara's father, Troy, and learning that no one seemed to know where the little girl was, her family reported her missing around 12:15 p.m. on July 6, 2004. 8-year-old Rain, Tamara's older brother, said that when they went to bed the night before, he and Tamara fell asleep next to each other. He told authorities that at some point, he felt Tamara getting out of bed and recalled that it was starting to get lighter outside when she left. And this is one of those honestly rare cases of a missing Indigenous person where authorities do actually begin searching immediately. It seems that the local authorities really did take this seriously. They did take this 5-year-old little girl's disappearance seriously. The area surrounding the Keepness home and the rest of the neighborhood was searched rather thoroughly for several days. Now, it should be noted that this was kind of a rough neighborhood. Locally, there was quite a bit of drug activity, and I believe quite a bit of criminal activity in the relative area. Unfortunately, they found no physical evidence that could be connected to Tamara, and there were no confirmed witnesses who had seen Tamara leave during the night or early morning, whether with someone else or by herself. There were no confirmed sightings. There was nothing. Some sources state that an Amber Alert was not issued for Tamara right away because the system had not yet been implemented in Saskatchewan. Other sources state that there wasn't one issued because Tamara's disappearance didn't meet the criteria. Sources state that an Amber Alert was not issued for Tamara Keepness until 10 days after she disappeared. By July 8, 2004, just 2 days after Tamara was reported missing, forensics teams were sweeping the Keepness home, but also found nothing that might indicate what happened to Tamara. After only 1 week, ground searches for Tamara were suspended. So despite their urgency in beginning the searches for her, It really doesn't seem like much effort past the first few days was put into searching for this little girl. On July 13th, the RCMP announced a $25,000 reward for information leading to the whereabouts of Tamara Keepness.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tantandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
On July 19th, Dean was charged for the assault on Russell, and he was sentenced to 9 months for this fight that resulted in bodily harm. On July 21st, 2004, the rest of the children were removed from the home by social services. Though social services had been involved with the family since 1993, this was the first time that any of the kids were taken away. By the end of July, authorities had received over 1,000 tips, but still had no official suspects in Tamara's disappearance. Lorena and Dean claimed that they had offered the police 5 different names of people who could be potential suspects, but they claimed that authorities never followed up on this information. Lorena had also willingly offered up her DNA and was incredibly cooperative in allowing searches of her home. By the fall of 2004, authorities had allegedly spoken to over 6,000 people in connection with Tamara's disappearance, but still had no official suspects. In September of 2004, a search warrant was unsealed and released to the public. This warrant mentioned blood that had been found on the floor in the Keepness home, some blood found on the front porch, and some blood found on bicycles outside of the home. I couldn't find any further details about this blood that was found or who it belonged to. After those first few months, Tamara's case goes cold. No one is charged or arrested, no one is named a person of interest, and no one is named an official suspect. On Father's Day of 2005, Tamara's father, Troy, planted a tree in her honor. On the one-year anniversary of Tamara's disappearance, 100 people marched through her neighborhood, hoping to reignite interest in her case. Russell Sheepskin actually passed away on January 1st of 2009. Most of what followed those first few months after Tamara's disappearance were nothing more than rumors and theories. Possibly one of the most absurd of those theories was that Tamara never existed at all, and that she was just a ploy to receive more money from social services. However, hospital records did prove this theory to be very, very incorrect. There was another local rumor that Tamara had been seen at the dollar store with a strange woman the day that she disappeared, but authorities could not find anything to confirm this sighting. There were also rampant rumors that Lorena and Dean had possibly sold Tamara to pay off a drug debt, but again, there was no evidence of this. Lorena says that there was one person in particular who she did mention to authorities, but that she feels she wasn't taken seriously about. Lorena told them about a woman that she had known since her childhood, who had often stayed with her family throughout the years. She said that her kids called this woman Big Auntie. Lorena says that she knew the woman's real name, but this woman always used a different name on things like medical records. Apparently, Big Auntie had a tendency to fake pregnancies. She would regularly tell people that she was pregnant and try to convince them and keep it running as long as she could, and then come up with some excuse later on as to why she still didn't have a baby. Lorena told police that Big Auntie had been staying with the family just before Tamara disappeared. At some point, she and Big Auntie had a falling out, and she didn't come around after Tamara disappeared. I couldn't find any confirmation as to whether authorities actually ever tracked this woman down, if she ever existed at all. Again, most everything about Tamara's case after 2004 is purely rumor and theory crafting. In November of 2014, something huge seemed to pop up in Tamara's case. A Reddit user known as My Secret Is Out made a post titled Location of Tamara Keepness, Check the Wells. And in the post, they included an image, a hand-drawn map of what seemed to be an area close to where Tamara disappeared. The map had the word Muscapeding scrawled at the top of it. Below it was a somewhat crude map of roads and hills and pretty vague locations of some wells in the area. And this led authorities to search the Muscapeding First Nation, as that's what they assumed this was referring to. All of the wells in the area were checked, and nothing came of it. They found absolutely no evidence connected to Tamara in any of these local wells. When questioned about the map, the Reddit user stated that it was originally their grandmother's, and they had found it in her belongings after she had passed away. They said that their grandmother had drawn the map after visiting an inmate years before at a local prison. This Reddit user did say later on, however, that the RCMP actually ignored all of their tips. And that was possibly the last break in Tamara's case that led absolutely nowhere. In June 2014, almost 10 years after Tamara's disappearance, authorities announced that they had doubled the reward, from $25,000 to $50,000 for information leading to Tamara's whereabouts. Today, the family still holds an annual barbecue in Tamara's honor, hoping to keep her story alive and to keep her face in people's minds. For Tamara's mother, Lorena, the past 17 years have been devastating and difficult. Her children were never permanently placed back in her home. She did have three more children after Tamara disappeared, but they were also removed from the home by social services. Because of the rumors that have long been circulating locally, Lorena has actually been physically assaulted because residents around the town suspect her of having something to do with her daughter's disappearance. Lorena has been involved in more than one altercation after having been accused of selling her daughter to pay off drug debts, even killing her own daughter. During one of these altercations, Lorena had actually been slashed with a knife. I believe that over the years, Lorena and Dean have had quite an on-again-off-again relationship. Possibly one of the saddest things about this case is that at some point over the years, someone threw away all of Lorena's belongings. And this means that the only photos that she has of Tamara are those that are on missing persons posters. Lorena's story about the night that her daughter disappeared has always remained the same, even after all these years. She says that she strongly believes that police already made up their minds when they started the investigation, that she or Dean or even Russell had something to do with Tamara's disappearance. In an interview with CBC Saskatchewan in October of 2004, Lorena says through tears, quote, "You wish you could go back and change it, but you can't," end quote. As for Tamara's twin sister, Tanis, she grew up to be incredibly smart and athletic, and today she is in university. And that is all we have on the disappearance of Tamara Keepness on the night of July 5th, 2004, going into the early morning hours of July 6th, 2004. Watching interviews of her family members talking about her it's heartbreaking. It's absolutely almost excruciating to watch the level of their pain, not knowing what happened to this little girl, and them feeling like the authorities maybe didn't do enough, maybe didn't act with enough urgency, and maybe focus their attention in the wrong place. Not to say that all possibilities for what happened to Tamara aren't open, but I would 100% agree that perhaps the RCMP did set their sights on the family a bit too hard and maybe didn't explore other tips and leads closely enough. As always, my sources for this episode will be listed in the show notes. At the time of her disappearance, Tamara Jewel Keepness was 5 years old, about 3 feet 5 inches tall and 35 pounds. She had black hair cut into a short bob and brown eyes, and she was Indigenous of the White Bear First Nation. It is unknown what exactly she was wearing at the time of her disappearance. There is currently a $50,000 reward for information leading to Tamara's whereabouts. If you have any information about the disappearance of Tamara Keepness, you can contact the Regina Police Service at 306-777-6500, Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-8477, or the nearest office of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. If you enjoy the show, please do consider leaving a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, as it really, really helps out with the visibility of the show. If you don't listen on Apple Podcasts, but you would still like to leave a review, you can do that on Podchaser by searching Crime and Crime Again. I will also link it in the show notes. If you'd like to show monetary support for the show, you can do so on Buy Me a Coffee, where you can make a one-time donation less than the price of one cup of coffee. I will also leave that link in the show notes. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Crime Again Pod, Instagram at Crime Again Podcast, on Facebook, Crime and Crime Again Podcast, and on TikTok at Crime Again Podcast. There is also a Facebook discussion group, which I will link in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode of Crime and Crime.